Today's daf is Ayin Hey. We're going to start at Ayin Dalet Amud Bet, toward like a little past the middle, at the two dots Haroveh v'Hanir Ba. So we're continuing in the list of items that get mixed up with regular sacrifices, and we're in the category of the psulei mizbeach, things that can't go on the mizbeach, like the roveh and the nirba. It's an animal that was engaged in bestiality, either initiated or not. Bishlama kulhu lo yidia. So now, we're not really talking about the roveh and nirba, we're really going to talk about the treifa. Okay, one of them listed is the treifa. Now, the treifa is obvious. If, normally, what are we talking about? The animal gets mixed up, and we don't know what's what. But if you have a treifa animal, it means the animal's sick and about to die, or it's missing a limb, there's something wrong with it, it should be pretty obvious which animal it is, in which case you don't have a problem of tarobit. You just identify that animal and take it out. So the Gemara says, Bishlama kulhu lo yidia. I understand all the others, you can't tell the difference whether the animal was a roveh or a nirba. There's no noticeable signs of that. But ela hai treifa hechidami. What's this case of a treifa? If he knows it's a treifa and it's obvious, leite velishkale, identify it and take it out. Ilo yadale, if he doesn't know whether it's a treifa or not, mina yada diyarev, then how does he know? He can't identify that this animal's a treifa. How does he know that there's an animal that's a treifa? In other words, the assumption is if it's a treifa, it'll be noticeably obvious. And if it's not noticeably obvious, well, then he doesn't know it's a treifa. Then what kind of situation are we talking about? That a treifa got mixed up, you don't even know it's a treifa. What does it mean you don't know? What it means is sometimes you shecht an animal and then you find out it's a treifa. But that kind of case won't be the scenario here, because here we're talking about animals got mixed, they were still alive. So that can't be the case. So Amri Debe Rabbi Yanai, Hacha B'mai Askina, we're now going to have three different answers, and then at the end the Gemara is going to say, why didn't each person agree with the other? So Debe Rabbi Yanai said, in the house of Rabbi Yanai, they said, clearly, assumingly in his name, Hacha B'mai Askina, Kigon Di'i Arev Nikuvat HaKotz B'drusat HaZe'ev. Okay, this is a little bit strange, but we're going to assume that there was an animal that got poked by a thorn, and an animal that got attacked by a wolf, right? As if it was a wolf, attacked by a wolf, which means that both of them are going to have a cut in their skin. It's just one. The assumption is that the wolf kind of cuts in your skin, and there's like a poison he gets into your body, and that makes you very sick. Whereas obviously, if you get pierced by a thorn. We get pierced by thorns all the time. Nothing happens to you. So in other words, they both look the same on the outside. As there's two animals mixed up, or there's a bunch of animals mixed up. In other words, we thought there were a whole bunch. It turns out maybe, I don't know, all the ones that we're talking about got thorns stuck in them. And one got a cut from a ze'ev. And therefore, we don't know the difference. Because from the outside, it looks the same. That's one answer. Obviously, a difficult answer, because we're going to see in the end, why don't they hold like Rabbi Yanai? Because the other opinions think that it obviously looks quite different, which would appear to us also. Rish Lakish amar kigon di'arev b'nefula. Okay, Rish Lakish says it's a case where an animal fell off from a high place, and then there's a debate, actually, what we do with this animal that falls off. In other words, the point is, if you fall, sometimes there's no outward injury, it's internal injuries. So therefore, it won't be noticed from the outside. So they say, nefula nami liftika. But a nefula, when an animal falls, now that we're going to see that there's a machloket, about whether it needs to be checked or it doesn't need to be checked. So in other words, now they're suggesting it should need to be checked, and that's to see, does it get up and walk or not? And if it gets up and walks, then it's fine. And if it doesn't get up and walk, well, then it's not fine. So again, it should be identifiable. So Rish Lakish, how could you say this is the issue? So they say, kasavar, there's actually a machloket about whether once it walks, it's the first opinion, as the Gemara asked this question, they were of the assumption that as soon as it can walk, then you're fine. So basically, check if it can walk, and if it can walk, then you're fine, and then Rish Lakish, what are you talking about? So now they're going to say, well, Rish Lakish claims he holds the other side of this machloket. This machloket is known in a different place, as it's mentioned elsewhere. Kasavar, amidat richame leit. Tzricha b'dika. If it stood up after, then you need to wait 24 hours to see what happens. And then we'll see what happens after that. But if it walks, then even if it walks, and as we said a minute ago, once it walks, you know it's fine. If it walks, it needs to be checked. Now, when do you do this b'dika? What kind of check do you do? Well, you have to check internally. The only way to check internally is after you do the shechita. So normally, if you have an animal that fell off from a high place, what would you do? You'd shecht it, and then you would check. If it's a treifa, then you can't eat it. If it isn't a treifa, you can't eat it. What's the problem here? The problem here is that you have this animal now mixed up with all these other zvachim, right? Animals for set aside for korbanot that were mukdashim. And now you don't know, is this animal a treif or not? How do you figure it out? You shecht it. The problem is you can't shecht it, because where do you shecht it? You shecht it in the azara. And if it's pasul, right, and it's a treifa, you can't bring it into the azara. So we don't want you to do unnecessary shechitot in the azara. You can't do that. And that's if it's an issue of, is it kosher or not? So fine, shecht it. What's the big deal? But if it's, you want to do, use it for a sacrifice, in our case, you won't be able to. So that's what we say Rish Lakish holds. And therefore, he says, this is a case where it's a psul that's mixed up with the rest. We don't know, right? In other words, it's a treifa, or it might be a treifa. It's enough of a treifa that we have to check to see if it's a treifa, and then we can't allow you to shecht it. And therefore, we do, you know, yiru achi istavu. So that's the second answer. So the first answer was, it had a drusat ze'ev, right? It was attacked by a wolf. The second, which is not noticeable, the second one, it was if it had fallen and it didn't have a noticeable injury, and it would be the kind of injury where we'd have to check after the shechita, according, you know, if you would hold that. You'd have to, again, in order to say this, you'd have to hold that halchat zricha bedika. If you hold halchat einat zricha bedika, then all you'd have to do is check if it walks. Once it walks, then it's fine, and you don't have to worry about it. And if it doesn't walk, then you know which one's the treifa, because that's the one that's not walking. Third answer, Rabbi Yirmiyah amar kigon diyar bivlad treifa. The Rabbi Eliezer, he amar vlad treifa lo yikrav legabem izbech. There's a machloket about a vlad treifa. If you have an animal that's a treifa, you know the animal's a treifa, and then it has offspring, is that offspring allowed to be brought as a sacrifice or not? So the assumption now is that the treifa that we're talking about in our Mishnah is not an actual treifa. It's the vlad of a treifa. It's the offspring of a treifa. And that obviously is not, doesn't have identifiable features, because the animal itself looks fine. And that's why we can't identify it. But that, again, would only be according to Rabbi Eliezer. So you can already see the last two opinions are only if you hold one shita. So it's going to be obvious when we say, why didn't other people say that? Why are there three explanations? Because they don't hold by that shita. And that would answer the issue, you know, that would answer the question very simply. Ki Rabbi Yanai lo amre, so why don't they hold like Rabbi Yanai about the drusat ze'ev, the wolf bite? Amre bein nekuvat hakotz ledrusat ze'ev meida yada, hai mashich v'hai agil. The nekuvat kotz and a drusat ze'ev, one is round and one is long, you know, rectangular, or, you know,
elongated.
Like elongated. Okay, I didn't actually check which is which. I would assume that a coat
is round and the wolf
is right, and the wolf is elongated. That's what I was going to guess.
I think they're not thinking about a bite so much as a scratch from the claws, and then it might look more like a...
Right. If you get claws, then it's going to be longer. If you get a coat, it's one pierce. So that would be the major difference. Kirish Lakish lo amre, kasavre amda inat zricha meid leid, right? In other words, the amda is not the important part. Halcha inat zricha bedika, right? Once it walks, it doesn't need to be checked at all. So therefore, they didn't hold like Kirish Lakish. And Kirabi Yirmiyah lo amre, because Kirabi Lezer lo mukme, right? We don't hold like Rabbi Lezer that, or the other opinions didn't hold like Rabbi Lezer that the Vlad Trefa can't go on the Mizbech, and therefore they gave different answers. Kodshim b'kodshim min b'mino v'chule. Okay, now we have this next line of the Mishnah where it said if you have sacrifices that get mixed up with other sacrifices, if they're the same type of sacrifice, then the Kohen just sacrifices all of them, and either he says in words, and this will be for whoever its owner is, or we said the second option was he just doesn't say anything, and which means if he doesn't have any intent, it'll just go for whoever the owner was. So now, this means that the owner, so we now have these live animals mixed up. They're kodshim. We basically give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen deals with it. That's all fine and good, except what happens? The problem is we're missing an important element of the korban. V'habai smicha. But doesn't the owner of the sacrifice, in certain sacrifices, have to do smicha on the korban, like a korban shlemen, for example? Right? He has to do smicha. And if he has to do smicha, then how can we say that this worked for that person when he didn't actually do smicha? Smicha is an important part of the korban. So, Amar Rav Yosef, bi korban nashim, Okay, b'korban nashim. He says very simply, the Mishnah, when he talks about kochim b'kochim, all of a sudden we're now limiting this. I kind of mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah. It's now very limited to only sacrifices brought by women. Why are women different? Because women aren't chayv in smicha. In fact, it's the famous case where the women wanted, it's classic, if you're talking about mitzvah haseh shazman grama, are women allowed to do things that they're not commanded to do? There was this case that happened that the Mishnah talks about. I can't remember now. Source of Mishnah or Braita, some early source, that the women wanted to do smicha, and they let them. And there was a machloket, should we let them or should we not let them? And they said, let's let them because mishum nacha ruach of nashim. They wanted to make the women feel included, and they allowed them to do smicha, even though it's really reshut. So here we see, so korban nashim, it's only reshut. So therefore, if the women don't do smicha, it'll count for them. So we must be talking only about animals that were designated for korbanot of women. So now the Gemara says, "Avaba korbana nashim lo." So you're going to say that this whole mission doesn't apply to men's korbanot? Etive, Abaye. Abaye says, "But I have a question from this source." So now we first have to learn through the source, and then we'll get to the question. Korban yachid shenitared b'korban yachid. B'korban tzibor shenitareh b'korban tzibor. This is similar to our Mishnah, right? We have a korban of an individual that gets mixed up with another individual's korban. A korban of the tzibor, a public offering, gets mixed up with a public offering. Or a korban yachid, a korban tzibor shenitarvu zeh bazeh. Or you have a korban yachid and a korban tzibor that get mixed up together, okay, a public offering and a private offering. Notein dalid matanot mikol echad ve'echad. Okay, here we're not talking about the Enior puzzle. They're all good. Now, what do you do? So according to this, you give four matanot. In other words, what's the issue? We don't know exactly how many matanot needs on the Mizbeach, because different korbanot have different requirements. So what do? We put four matanot from the blood of each animal. V'im nata matana mikol echad, yatsa. And if you gave one matana from each blood of each of these offerings, from each cup of the blood that you have, you're yotze. Why are you yotze? Because remember we saw this Mishnah that according to Beit Hillel, even though you need four matanot, if you only did one, you'd be mechaper. We dealt with that for a while earlier on in the Masechet. Ve'im natan arba mikulan yatsa. And if you gave four from all of them, meaning you put all, if all the bloods were mixed together, and you did four matanot with a mixture of blood of all these animals, or two of the animals, let's just assume there's only two, and you did four matanot from both of them, yatsa. Okay, that would be enough also. So we have three things you could do. Either four from each of the animals, let's say there's two animals, korban yachid of one person and korban yachid of another, just for example, we'll take that. So you'd have to give four matanot of one and four matanot of the other. If you only gave one from each, it's okay. And now we learn that if you gave four from both of the bloods together, if the bloods were mixed together, that would also be okay. Bamed varim mamurim, we're still in the Braita now. In which case is this talking about shenitarvu chayim? That they were mixed up when they were still alive. Aval nitarvu shchutin, but if they got mixed up once they were shechted, noten arba matanot mikulan. But if the bloods got mixed up once they were slaughtered, then you would give four matanot mikulam. We're going to see later there's a bit of a problem with this line in the Braita, but let's just explain it like that for right now. V'im natam matana achat mikulan, because really the issue is, I'll tell you already what the problem's going to be. Nitarvu shchutin could mean one of two things. Nitarvu shchutin could mean, nitarvu chayim is very obvious. We have one animal that was designated for someone's korban yachid, we have another animal that was designated for another korban yachid, and now they're mixed up together, we don't know which is which. Okay, that's not really mixed up. That's just we have two together and we don't know what belongs to where. The shchutim, we have two options. It could be that we took the blood of one and we took the blood of the other and we now have two cups and we don't know which is which. Which doesn't sound like what they're talking about, because here it says noten arba matanot mikulan, meaning from one mixture, which sounds like the blood got mixed together and not, and that's why they're going to say the issue isn't is it shchutim or not. The issue is the blood mixed up together or not? Because if it's shchutim, we have one option is it's we have two cups and we don't know which cup is the blood from which animal. Or shchutim could be we have all the blood mixed up together.
But even if it's in two cups, you would still have to do arba matanot from each cup.
You would, and that's why it doesn't make any sense. Because what does it say here? Nitarvu shchutin, noten ar. That's why it says bamedvarim b'murim shenitarvu chayim. Avan Darush Chutim, but once they were slaughtered, then Notain Arba Matanot Mikulam. Mikulam means from the mixture of both. And as it's just no, because look at the Lashon in the beginning. There was either Notain Arba Matanot Mikol Echad VeEchad or Arba Mikulan. It doesn't say Mikol Echad VeEchad. That's what it should have said if it meant that. So that's why later the Brita, they're going to say that the Brita really means here that the blood got mixed up, because otherwise you wouldn't be giving Arba Mikulan, you'd be giving Arba Mikol Echad VeEchad. Okay? So that's why in the end they're going to say it's not the difference between Chayin and Shchutin, it's the difference between Shchutin mixed up and Shchutin not mixed up together, right? No, it's, again, mixed up means, right, they're all Shchutin in two cups or Shchutin in one cup. Okay? So here what it clearly means is Shchutin in one cup, but we don't know all that yet. That's what they're going to say later.
How do you rectify this with the machshava? You have to have a machshava specifically for a person, otherwise...
So that's why they're going to say that this what your machshava is going to be is for both. That while you're doing the sprinkling of this blood, you have blood from both, and you're sprinkling the blood of both animals.
It's not specific for one person.
Well, right. So that's the whole question here, right? How do we, in other words, can we do this? But it seems like you can do it. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If you have kachim mixed up with kachim, so you do for whoever it's for. And either, maybe you have to declare, this is going for both, and whichever blood is going for this person, or by not saying anything, your intent is clear, you know, and that we don't mess it up with the wrong intent. Okay. So now, the whole thing, remember, is to say that this could only be true, and that's if they're, what's the difference, chayim shchutim? If they're alive, it means that they haven't yet done smicha, because they got mixed up before you did smicha. If they're shchutim, then it means smicha was done and they only got messed up later. Okay? So remember, where's our question? We haven't gotten to our question yet, but we want to deal with, if men's korbanot get mixed up together and they haven't yet done smicha, then we can't allow you to do it without smicha. And here, since it's talking about korbanim shenitarvu chayim, right, it seems like you can shech them even though they didn't necessarily do smicha. Okay? Let's just continue in the bright of them all. We'll see. Rebbe Omer, he disagrees. He says, ro'ina tamatana. If the bloods get mixed up together, then we have to assess how much blood we have. Im yesh ba kedei lezeh ukedei lezeh ksheira v'im lav psula. All of a sudden, we never really talked about this, but we learned that according to Rebbe, there's a minimum shear of blood. And there has to be enough of a shear of blood for both. That's if they're mixed, you have to make sure that there's enough blood in there. It's all a matter of the quantity. If there's enough blood, then do it. If there's not enough blood, then you can't do it. Okay, so now what's the assumption here? What are we talking about? Katane yachid dumia de tzibur. Here we have a yachid mixed up with a tzibur, or, you know, they talk about yachid, they talk about tzibur. Tzibur relates to men or women. Generally, it's the men who are chayav in the korbanot. So mat tzibur gavrei. The korban tzibur, obviously, even if it's also for women, it clearly includes men. Men are chayav, right, in the korbanot tzibur. Everyone's involved in those. So therefore, since the tzibur is talking about men, af yachid gavrei. And therefore, going back to nitarvu chayim, if they got mixed up while they're still alive, we allow, right, we go through with the process. How can we go through with the process? According to this, it sounds like even if they're men, you're allowed to go through with the process and slaughter them anyway. And what about smicha? You haven't done smicha. You can't say this happened after smicha, because remember, techef le smicha shchita, you had to do it immediately right after, so we can't imagine time elapsed for it to start getting mixed up with other animals. You would basically do the smicha, take it right away, and shecht it. It wouldn't get lost at that point. So Amarava, Vitizbira, is that what you think this Braita means? Hamitaratztahi, this Braita in general is a problematic Braita, and we have to change this anyway, because it doesn't make any sense, like I said earlier. Dikatane bamedvara mamurim kisha nitarvu chayim, aval nitarvu shchutin lo, mali chayim, mali shchutin. It's not whether it's alive or whether it's slaughtered that makes the difference. It's whether it's in one cup or two cups after you slaughter it. So therefore, elahachi kamar. So now he's going to claim that the Braita was never talking about a case where the animals were mixed up when they were alive. The Braita's only talking about a case where they were mixed up after they were slaughtered, which means the smicha was already done, which means this isn't a question. Okay, which means, yes, this is talking about korbanot of anashim, but it's after smicha was actually performed, and that's why there's no issue. How do we know this? How does he read it then? It says chayim and it says shchutim. So how's he going to read it? Elahachi kamar. This is what it means. Bamedvarim amurim shenit arvu shchutim ke'en chayim bekosot. It's going to be that they got mixed up once they were slaughtered in the way that they got, that they could potentially have gotten mixed up when they were alive, which means, how do you get mixed up when you're alive? You have one animal next to another, you just don't know which is which. Not that the two animals are a combination together and, you know, they've merged into one thing. So therefore, if it's like they were chayim, meaning we have one cup and another cup and we just don't know which cup is which, so then you do four matanot with each cup of blood. But if they're nitarvu shchutim, which is, you know, the shchutim means now aval bibolel, where it's all mixed up in one cup, then notain dale matanot lekulam. In other words, then you take one sprinkling, right? You do the zrikat hadam or the hazayat hadam. You do it with the one cup, and that's how you do it. So basically, they say this braita was never talking about live animals before smicha. Okay, smicha was obviously performed, in which case it doesn't raise a question on the way we understood our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about where they were nitarvu chayim, and this wasn't. The imna tamatana chat lekulan yetzah. Okay, and then, right, so you do dala matanot lekulam, and if you did one matana from, you know, if you only did one, it needs a minimum of one to be yotze. Rebbe Omer, ro'im, now we're going to deal with Rebbe. Rebbe Omer, ro'ina tamatana, im yesh ba kedei leze o kedei leze, ksherav im lav psula. We're now off the track of our sugya, right, because we're now on a sidetrack. Once we brought up the sprite, now we're going to deal with Rebbe Shita. Umi ilay le Rebbe hai svara, does Rebbe really hold that there's a minimum shear for zrikat adam? Hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, in the name of Rebbe? Okay, now we're going to actually do a little jump here. We're not actually talking here about sprinkling of the blood. We're talking, or zrikat adam, we're talking about hazayat mechatat, which is the para aduma, water. Okay, so now we have a case where Rebbe's going to talk about, I'm a Rebbe, l'divrei Rebbe Eliezer, haza'a koshuhu mitaheret. Okay, what does this mean? This means that if you have mechatat, so that's where you put the ashes of the paraduma, you mix it with this mayim tovim, okay, and you have this mixture, and it gets mixed up with regular water. So now you have this water mixed, the special water mixed up with regular water. Can you use it for sprinkling on someone? Because it does have the mechatat in it, it just also has other water. So Rebbe says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Haza'a koshu mitaheret. This would work because as long as you have any sort of amount of mechata, and the assumption is if you're using this mixture, there's a little bit, because water always mixes up, you know, liquids mix up together. So there must be a little bit of the mechatat in there. And therefore, since haza'a koshu mitaheret, what do we see, right? Therefore, this works. So now what are they going to say? So what do you see here? Haza'a einat tzricha shi'ur. Right? It doesn't need a shiur. Haza'a mechza kasher u'mechza pasul. One second. So according to this, right, this, right, you can basically, what they're saying here is we can take water that's half kasher and half pasul, because, you know, the regular water is pasul for mechatan, and you can say, you can use it for sprinkling because as long as there's a little bit. So what do you see here? Haza'a doesn't need a shi'ur. So therefore, since haza'a mechatat doesn't need a shi'ur, we're now going to make a jump and say, and this is Rebbe, so we're going to say that also haza'a for the mizbeach, we're going to compare haza'ot, we're going to assume that if he thinks that haza'a mechatat doesn't need a shi'ur, l'taher anashim, right, or tamei meit, also, the Hazan the Mizbeach doesn't need a shiur. So that's our question, Rebbe. It's a bit of a strange question because ma kesher, like why, just because they're both Hazaot and sprinkling, and they're sprinkling of holy things, but still, it shouldn't necessarily be that jump, and that's going to be one of the answers. So they're going to basically say, you know, the question is, how could Rebbe need a shiur for the sprinkling of the blood? And Dafke Mechatad, he doesn't need it. So, first answer is, L'dibaravdi Rebbe Lezer Kamar. Notice what he said. He started with, I'm a Rebbe. L'divrei Rebbe Eliezer, haza'a kol shu mitaheret. In other words, he was only saying, according to Rebbe Eliezer, this would work. It's not like he's saying his own opinion. He's talking only according to Rebbe Eliezer. He himself might hold otherwise. V'bai geima, haza'a l'chud u nitina l'chud. There's haza'a for the mechatat, and there's nitina, the mizbeach of the blood. Those are two totally different things, and you shouldn't compare them. Okay, so those are the two possible answers to answer the question about Rebbe. Now we're going to move on to Bechor and Maaser. One of the things we said that was unique by Bechora Maaser is that you can't do pidyon. So therefore, the solution of leaving them, if the Bechora Maaser get mixed up with something else, leaving them ad shipo ba'emum doesn't work. You leave them ad shipo ba'emum, then they can't be sacrificed. That resolves it. And then what happens to them, though? You can't redeem them, right? The Bechor gets given to the Kohen, because once a Bechor is a ba'emum, you can eat, the Kohen can eat it, and the Maaser, the owners can eat it. So in those cases, if the Bechor gets mixed up, right, so the Mishnah had said, Nidaru b'Bechor b'Maaser, it's the last line in the Mishnah, Yiru ad shisto yishtavu, v'yochlu k'Bechor u'chamaaser, right, it's the second to last line in the Mishnah. And you can eat it like Bechor is eaten, meaning the Kohanim can eat the Bechor, and that is all the animals then can only be eaten by Kohanim, because they're all suffic Bechor. And Maaser can be eaten by the owners, so that can actually be eaten once it has a mum. So now they're going to have some questions. Rami Bar Chama is going to ask a question. Rami Bar Chama. Bechor lebeit shamai. Okay, now you have to get some background. There's a machlok at beit shamai beit hilel. If a bechor has to be in bikdusha. In other words, you have to be tahor to eat a bechor. But once it has a mum, you don't. However, beit shamai holds certain types of tumah that are tumah taguf, like anida or a zav or a zavah, for example. Those types of tuma'im are not allowed to eat even a Bechor Baal Mum. Even once it has a Mum, it can't be eaten by, okay, the case they're bringing is just the Nida. So Bechor LeBeit Shammai Eim Ma'achilim LeNidot, okay, a Nida can't eat a Bechor Baal Mum. Tmurato Mahu. But what about the Tmura of a Bechor? Meaning, if you took a Bechor Baal Mum and you said, instead of this, I'm going to give, yeah, this animal is going to be my Bechor, or even just a regular Bechor. And then the Bechor became, right, I guess it was the Tmura be after it was already a Baal Mum? Remember, Tmura is something which you're not supposed to do, but if you do, the next animal has the same Kiddusha. So if you did the Tmura, just one second, right, I assume it's time that if you did the Tmura on a Bechor that was a Baal Mum. Okay, so if you did the Tmura on a Bechor Baal Mum, would that animal have the same din as the Bechor Baal Mum that can't be eaten by Anida? Or because it's not a Baal Mum, or because it's... No, sorry. One second. Right, Anida can't eat something that doesn't have a Mum either, so 1 minute. Bechor Baal Mum is it Mutar? Right, since it's only a tmura, would you be allowed to? One second.
Sorry. It gets the level of, it's removed and it's not really.
Well, it gets the level of kedusha of the original. So the question, so everything applies whether it's actually got a mum or not.
Right. So otherwise, right. So even if it doesn't have but if it doesn't have a mum, it can't be eaten by her anyway. Oh no.
But if it's considered to be the status of a mum, just like the bechor, then maybe because it's not really, but it's just a status that was applied to it, then maybe an either should be allowed to.
Mm-hmm. 1 second. So Tmura Bechor generally has to be Roe Achi Po Bamum, and then it can be eaten like a Bechor Bamum. The question is, would this, right, so Tmura Tom Mahu, would you be allowed? Why would she be allowed to eat it if she can't eat a Baal Mum itself?
Because it doesn't really have a mum.
And she can't eat it if it's not a Baal Mum. Right? Notice the Gemara actually just says it's a Bechor and not a Bechor Baal Mum, but the Mefreshim will say it's a Baal Mum. Okay. Anyway, let's go on with the next questions. So this is a deem. Are all the dinim of Bechor, Baal Mum, okay, that it can't be eaten by Nidot, would that apply to the Tmura? Bechor eino nifdeh, you're not allowed to do pidyon on the Bechor, so Tmurato mahu, with the Tmura of a Bechor also you can't do pidyon on? Bechor, right, because remember, if it gets a Mum then you'd have to leave it ad shistavu and then you wouldn't be able to do pidyon on it. So maybe on the Tmura you could, because it's not actually the Bechor itself. And Bechor, there's an additional din, eino nishkal belitra, tmurato mahu. a bechor can't be weighed. What's a litra? They would use a rock or something to weigh it on the moznaim, on the scale. That was how they sold regular meat. Now, generally, things that are holy, we can't do that with because it's not mechubad. However, if you end up with an animal that gets disqualified, a regular animal that we do pidyon on, since the money belongs to the mikdash, what happens? If you weigh something, then you get the exact price for it. If you don't weigh it, what do? You sell it for what you approximate. Probably you're going to take a loss on it. So when we can allow pidyon, we allow you, even though it's... There's two issues here. Number one, it's considered zilzul. Okay, it's a bizayon, it's an embarrassment to weigh it on a scale like you weigh meat, regular meat. So therefore, we don't want to do that with hekdesh property. On the other hand, when it's really hekdesh property and it's owned by the mikdash, we want to do that because we don't want the mikdash to have a loss. When it comes to bechor, there's no mikdash loss because the bechor belongs to the kohen. The kohen eats the bechor, not the mikdash. It's not part of the mikdash's like the treasury. So therefore, Bechor is not Nishkal Belitra. So Tmurato Mahu. Could you do the Tmura? Would it have the same laws that it's not measured in the same way that regular meat is measured, weighed? Amar Rava. So now the question of Rami Barchama is, do all the dinim of Bechor, these particular dinim, apply to Tmura? Amar Rava. Tanya, Bechor Umaser, Mishuhu Memu, Osin Tmura, Utmurato Kayote Bahen. So Rava says very simply, it says in the Braita, Bechor Umaser, once they have a mum, they still, that even though they're pasul, right, you can't sacrifice them, if you would put an animal in its place, it would have a din of Tmura, and the animal would have the exact same laws as the Bechor itself. So therefore, it sounds like yes. Now Rami Barchama asks an additional question. By Rami Barchama, Hitpis bechor lebedek habayit. Let's say you have this bechor that was a baal mum. So now what's left to do? You can't sacrifice it. So what do? The kohen eats it, right? He's allowed to eat an animal that was a bechor with a baal mum. So now what if you said, I'm giving this animal, okay, I don't want to eat this animal, I'm dedicating it to the mikdash. Now normally we say if the bechor itself can't be measured with these weights and measurements, because it's mizalzel b'kavod. However, regular hekdesh property, you can. So now what if you've been machdish your bechor to the mikdash, and we don't want the mikdash to lose out, so maybe now we're allowed to do it? Or maybe we say, no, it still has the din of a bechor, because it's a bechor, and a bechor is not. So ma'u sheyishko b'litra, do we say ravcha de hekdesh adif? We're more concerned with the pocket of the treasury, that the treasury gets the money that they deserve. O dilma ziluta de bechor adif. Or do we say that since there's this din, now by the way, there's a machloket Rashi and Tosfot, whether this is a din de rabbanan or a din de oraita. Tosfot actually thinks the din de oraita, that you can't measure a bechor on the scales. Rashi thinks it's only de rabbanan. So the question is whether you say it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan, and obviously there's a big difference, right? If you say it's d'oraita, you would think maybe it would outweigh the other. But even according to Tosfot thinks it's still a question. Or according to Rashi, maybe it makes a little more sense. It's only d'rabbanan. So again, do we say we'd rather have the treasury have more money? Or since this is a bechor and it has the kedusha of a bechor in it, and bechor is not nishkal b'litra, so we don't allow it to be weighed. So now we're going to try to prove this. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvega, Tashma. Where are we going to prove it from? And as you might say, what does this have to do with our case? Because until now, we haven't been talking about a bechor ta'arovet, right? This is all just dinim of a bechor in general, okay? Which we got to because we were talking about bechor. But the real reason this is brought in our sugya is because we're going to use our Mishnah as an attempt to prove. Rabbi Yossi's Verzeda says like this, Tashma, let's learn it from our Mishnah. Nitarvu bebechor b'maser, yir'u ad shistavu, v'yochlu kebechor uchemaser. Right, so what do? You leave it to get a mum. And then you eat it like Bechor Maser. Lav lememer. What does it mean? You eat it like Bechor Maser. We understood that to mean you eat it, meaning the Kohen eats the Bechor, the owner eats the Maser, right? Or it goes to, you know, regular people can eat the Maser. But lav lememer de inonish kal belitra. Doesn't this mean that if he wanted to sell it, he couldn't? And it's, what does it mean? It retains its status as a Bechor. It retains its status such that you can't measure it on the weight, you know, with the weights. Rav Huna, Rav Chizkiya, Talmidei de Rabbi Yirmiya Amrei, Mi dami. What are you talking? In other words, what does it mean? It means, sorry, I should say it better. It means that this one bechor animal that got mixed up with all these other zvachim, right? All the zvachim have a din of bechor. Let's say it was a kiss of bechor. What would it mean they have a din of bechor? Number one, they can only be eaten by kohanim. And number two, the kohanim can't sell them. They can only sell them by omed, right? By measuring them, by estimation, and not by using the scales. That's what they're assuming it means. It retains its status as a bechor for everything. That's their assumption. So now, if that's the case, that it's a nonish kabbalitra, then they're going to say the same thing would apply in our case. That, in other words, once it's a bechor, it retains its status. You can't say, just because we have this issue that we don't want the hekesh to lose out, we would say that. So now, and even though in theory all these vachim belong to the mikdash, right? Do you understand why this comparison? All these vachim are the mikdash property. So if they're going to sell them, they can only sell them by estimation, according to this understanding of the Mishnah. So assuming that's the understanding of the Mishnah, Rav Huna and Rabbi Chizkiah say, Talmidei Rabbi Yirmiyah say, you still can't compare these two cases. Okay? The case of a bechor that hitpis lebedek habayit to a bechor that got mixed up with zvachim. Why? Midame. These are not similar at all. Hatam shtei kedushot v'shnei gufim. Ha'cha shtei kedushot v'guf echad. There we're comparing, there's bechor, and then there's all the zvachim that the bechor was mixed up in. So we have, it's safek whether it's even a bechor at all. Okay, in other words, there's two different things going on. There's two bodies and two kedushot. But in this case, we have an internal conflict. On the one hand, we have this one animal, and the question is, do we err on the side of having it sanctified? You know, we'd rather the Bet HaKabayit get more money, or it's a conflict within itself, and the Bechor itself. Here the conflict is, well, the Bechor obviously can't finish Kabbalitra, but what about all the other animals that are Hekdesh? So there are two different things you're comparing, and this is one item with one goof. So we still don't have an answer, really. Matkifle Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. Ma ilu amar hifduli Bechor, hifduli Bechor shet pisu Ma ilu amar hivduli b'chor shet pisu lebedek habayit klum shom inlo? He says, how could you even suggest that it could be nishkal b'litra? If I take a b'chor and I dedicate it lebedek habayit and I say, now I want to redeem this animal, could I redeem it? Of course not. It says in the Torah, you can't redeem a b'chor, right? So how could you possibly say that I could just by, you know, the fact that I'm matpis this bechor lebedek habayit doesn't change the fact that it's a bechor. And if a bechor, I can't do pidyon, so I can't do pidyon on a bechor that I said I'm giving to the bedek habayit. Likewise, just because I gave it to the bedek habayit doesn't mean I can all of a sudden allow something that wasn't allowed before, like lishkol belitra. Okay? So now the Gemara says, oh, you're comparing two totally different things. Again, hifdu rachmana amar lo tifteh. It says in the Torah, lo tifdeh, you can't, it says it explicitly in the Torah. So now you get to the Rashi Tosfot, who thought that lishkol belitra is derabana deoraita. So if you're a Rashi, you say it's a difference deoraita derabana. It's hifdu, don't compare it to hifdu. Hifdu, it says it's asur midoraita. This lishkol belitra is only asur derabana, so maybe you could override it. According to Tosfot, it thinks it's deoraita. Even if you say it's deoraita, it doesn't say it explicitly deoraita. So you compare it to something that says explicitly in the Torah versus something it doesn't say explicitly. So basically, he tried to say, what kind of a question are you asking? It's not even a question. But we say, no, it is still a question, because you can't say it's not a question and use pidyon as your proof, because pidyon is different. Ela amar Rabbi Ami, klum hikneze ela masha kanulo. In other words, how could you, again, he's basically saying that you can't possibly, you gave something to Bet HaKabayit, it can't be any different than the item was itself. So if that couldn't be nishkal belitra, then this also can't be nishkal belitra. Okay? And therefore, that's the answer to Rami Bar Chama, that basically, even though we kind of gave all sorts of proofs and nothing really worked, he says in the end, a bechor is a bechor across the board. Once it has the status of a bechor, you can't change it and measure, you know, weigh it at all, even if you give it to Bet HaKabayit. Okay, so that was a total tangent that had nothing to do with our sugya. It was just that our Mishnah was brought within that discussion as an attempt to possibly bring an answer, but was rejected because we say those are two different things. Here we're talking about one animal that has two elements to it, On the one hand, it's hekdesh. On the other hand, it's a bechor versus one animal that's mixed up with other animals, and that's, you know, and there's a debate within that.
So do you think that the tamura also has to be a bechor?
So according to this, they say the tamura has the exact din of a bechor. They brought the bright to the tzedek. Bechor o ma'aser mishum mumu, osin tamura u'tmuratan kayotzeben. So the din of a tamura is going to have the exact same halachot of the animal itself.
It has the same din, but is it actually a bechor? Like, it's the only animal that has an exact...
Right, it seems strange that you could even think to do a tamura for a bechor. Right. Their point is that there's such a thing of... And it's, again, you're not allowed... It's always a strange thing, tamura, because you're not allowed to... But since you did it, the object is sanctified. And then it is quite a strange halacha, because you're now saying this has the status of a bechor, even though it's clearly not a bechor. So
another animal might make sense, just not a bechor.
Right, it's true. But maybe that's the whole chiddush of this din, that even bechor maaser, you know, there is a din of tamura. We'll deal with this when we get to Masechet Tamura. We'll learn more about it. Okay. Hakol yecholin lehitarev. Okay, everything can be mixed up. This is that last interesting line of the Mishnah, which was sort of sounded like it was just telling you practically speaking, right? Which animals could be mixed up with others? Could you confuse them? In which case do you have a korban? Like, if you remember, there was the asham and the chatat that you would never confuse, because the chatat is never a ram and the isle is always a ram, and therefore you can, or we'll see the isle could be something else also, but anyway, we'll question this a little bit. So, maishna chatat asham. In other words, the chatat is a right, the chatat is a nekeva, and the asham is a zachar. Chatat va'olanami. You also have right, the chatat is also a nekeva, and the ola is always brought from a zachar. Right, I'm not confusing these. Right, the
ola
is the zachar and chatat. Right, the ola is the zachar, and the chatat is the nekeva. So that, now the answer, no ika se'ir nasi. There is a case of a se'ir that can be brought for the nasi where you'd have a chatat that's also a zachar. So now they say, I didn't read this right. Let's read it from the beginning. Maishna chatav asham dahai zachar v'hai nekeva. Chatav olanami, right? Also that would be the same. And ika se'ir nasi. And therefore you could say the se'ir nasi could also mix up in theory with the asham. And then you would have two animals that kind of look the same. They're both, what are they saying? The main difference is zachar and nekeva, not necessarily which type of animal. So now the answer, hai se'ar v'hai tsemer. In other words, the type of animal, a se'ir, is identifiably different from an ayil. Why is that? Because one has se'ar, the se'ir has se'ar. Okay, now there's a bit of a debate. Is it mean he has straight hair versus the ram has curly hair, like the ram and the sheep have curly? Or is it that one is black and one is white? Okay, that the color is different. There's a bit of a debate about what the differences are, but they're still saying they're identifiably different. Pesach ve'asham nami lo me'arev, hai ben shana v'hai ben shtei shanim. You could say that the Pesach and the Asham also, because the Pesach always has to be within the first year, and the Asham is within the second year. This assumes what? You could tell the difference between a first year and a second year, which is going to be one of the Gemara's answers. Ika Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzora. So first of all, there's the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzora, which is also brought within the first year. V'bayit Ema, Ika Ben Shana, Demechze Keben Shtei Shanim. Ika Ben Shtei Shanim, Demechze Keben Shana, right? Certain animals might look older and certain other animals might look younger. Okay, now next Mishnah. We're now going to talk about more Taravot. Asham Shenitarev B'Shlamim. Now what happens if you have a Korban Asham that gets mixed up with Korbanot Shlamim? Rabbi Shimon Amar, remember, there's all different laws about the Asham and the Shlamim. The Asham has to shchitato b'tzafon, it's kochei kochim, and the Shlamim shchitato b'kol makom. And how long you get, right? Some of them have differences about how much you get to eat them. Rabbi Shimon Amar, shnehem yishchitu b'tzafon, v'yochlu kechamor shebahem. Okay, they both get shechted in the north, and then the amount of time you have to eat it is like the Asham, where you only have a day, right, that night and a day. You don't have the 2 days and a night. Amrulo, they said to him, Rabbi Shimon, Eimavim kochim lebeit hapsul. How can you take an animal? Now remember, right now we're talking about an animal before it was slaughtered. So the question is, how do you slaughter it? And then how do you treat it? So they say to Rabbi Shimon, we don't want to create unnecessary situations of notar. So how can we basically take this animal, knowing that we have no idea what it is, and maybe it really can be eaten for 2 days, and a night, and we're going to say it can only be eaten for a night and a day, and cause possible problems of notar. We don't want to do that. So they say, we don't want to create situations where we're going to disqualify things. So therefore, what do they say? It doesn't say this inside, but yiru ad shistavu. In other words, don't slaughter them at all. Avoid the situation. Send them out to graze until they have a mum, and then redeem them, and then take the money and buy new sacrifices. But what if we're at a later stage where it's already been slaughtered? Nitarvu chatichot v'chatichot kotshik v'chatichot. What if pieces of meat that were already slaughtered got mixed up with pieces of meat? Kotshik kotshim v'kotshim kalim. Right? Hanechalim liyom acham and nechalim l'shneyamim. That's either you have kotshik kotshim v'kotshim kalim, or ones that are eaten one day, even for 2 days, right? Well, we have differences of where it can be eaten. We have differences of how long it can be eaten. So what do we answer? At that point, there's no option of Yiru ad shistavu, because the animal's already slaughtered. So since there's no other solution, everybody agrees here that yochlub kechamor shebehen. Okay, we basically say we're going to treat it like the most chamor din because we have no choice at this point. It's a done deal. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.